If you have a Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. As we begin reading at verse 1. We are thinking today about the superiority of Christ. And the book of Hebrews, to some extent, emphasizes that very theme, and it focuses on making comparisons. And we'll see why in a moment, but one reason I wanted the children to be aware of what we were thinking about is that this idea of comparison goes on all the time, but there is a comparison that is made in Hebrews 1, and it's the comparison of Christ with others. Beginning at verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much, and this is the operative phrase, so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But, again the comparison, to the Son He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth." It's talking about Christ when it says Lord here. "And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? All of us make comparisons at some time or other. We compare ourselves with other people, with what they have, with what we don't have. We compare our performance with others. We compare our Christianity with others. We compare our teams with others. We compare our careers with others. Our lives are carried out to a great extent by comparing ourselves with others. Well, there is a comparison being made in Hebrews chapter 1, which is a comparison between Jesus Christ and everything else. In particular, Jesus Christ and the angels. And then the entire book of Hebrews is a book of comparisons in order to do this. And that is to show the superiority of Jesus Christ, that He is superior to anything and every other form of religion. So He says, Christ is superior to the angels. Christ is superior to Joshua. Christ is superior to Moses. Christ is superior to the high priest in the Old Testament. Christ is superior to that mysterious figure called Melchizedek. Christ is superior to all the Old Testament sacrificial system. Jesus Christ is superior. I remember reading a sermon many years ago by a Puritan, I don't remember what text it was on. It may have been this. But the title of the sermon was this: Christ is best. Christ is best. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is communicating, especially in chapter 1, then throughout the entire book of Hebrews. For example, in chapters 1 through 4, the writer of Hebrews says the person of Christ is superior to all other persons. Then in chapter 5, going all the way through chapter 10, he says the priesthood of Christ is superior. And then in chapter 10 to the end, he says living in Christ is superior. And that is the flow for this entire passage of Hebrews 1, that Jesus Christ is best. And I think there are probably two main reasons why. Why talk about superiority and comparisons here? The first reason is this. The title of this book is the book of Hebrews, so that it was written to Jewish Christians. The alarming thing about these Jewish Christians in the first century was that they were thinking of recanting their profession of faith and then going back into Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews just hammers them. He says, what? Going back to something inferior? Christ is superior to all of that list that I've already given you. That is one reason that this comparison is made. It also suggests that there is a comparison that we make even now. And this is the second reason. Why is it that the Holy Spirit put this book of and the theme of comparison in the Bible? Do you ever ask yourself that? Well, I think the reason is this. Because we are prone to compare ourselves with everything and anything, and we are prone to be distracted between the superiority of Jesus Christ and everything else. For example, sometimes we may be attracted to our possessions and we're devoted to them. Or we may think and be distracted by our homes or our cars or our careers. And all of those are important, and I'm not decrying any of that and its significance. But listen, men and women, on the final day when everything, when the dust has settled from the earth, and there are no more church buildings and no more brick and mortar and no more asphalt because it has been incinerated in the final judgment, the only thing left will be your soul. And that is what is permanent. And that is why Christ is best. That is why Christ is superior to anything. We have here in this chapter a brief logic that the writer of Hebrews uses in getting to the point. And briefly he says this. In verses 1 through 4, the first thing he says is that God has spoken. That's what he says. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament, that God has revealed himself in the Old Testament and that he spoke. Now, we could talk also about the fact that God has revealed himself in nature. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 1. We look outside and we can see clouds and we can see trees. You look at the tops of the trees and it's an expansive moment just to see the wind blowing the trees. What Paul says in Romans 1 is that the Aborigine in New Guinea, the most uninformed person, could conclude that there is a God and that this God is one God and he is a holy God simply by looking out and admiring the greatness of the created order. And so, God has spoken in the created order, but the writer of Hebrews also says God has spoken in the Old Testament through his prophets. But then he's following the logic now. And the next step is in verse 2. And he says this, "He has in these last days spoken to us through His Son, whom He has made heir of all things." And then the writer of Hebrews lists seven things that describe the superiority of Christ over everything else that has been revealed. And that's what his emphasis is. Christ is superior because Christ is God. And as God and being superior, He is all sufficient for every need that you have and that we face in our lives. And so here in verse 2, we are reminded of even a verse like John 1:1 where John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Here you have God Himself revealed in the person of a man, Jesus Christ, and He is speaking. Did you know that the word, the term in John 1:1, Word, actually means conversation? So that you could say that in the beginning was the conversation, and the conversation became flesh. What is that conversation? It is the conversation of Jesus Christ being revealed in the Spirit. If God revealed Himself and His conversation is in Christ, then as G. Campbell Morgan said, great preacher of Westminster Chapel in London of many years ago, G. Campbell Morgan said that when God spoke to men in Christ, what else is there to say? The point is this, that God has spoken and He has spoken in Christ, and therefore that communication is superior to anything and everything else. We think of all those religions that preceded the revelation of Jesus Christ and all those religions that have come after. There is Jehovah Witnesses and there is Mormonism and there is Islam. Listen, anyone who comes to you and tells you God has revealed them something new and fresh and different that does not fit and that is contrary to this revelation, then it is outside of God's revelation. It is contrary. I don't know where it came from, but it didn't come from God. And then the writer of Hebrews in this chapter, he says, therefore, he says, first, God has spoken. Secondly, God spoke through Christ. And then thirdly, therefore, Christ is superior to all other mediators. That is, there is no other way to get to God other than Jesus Christ because He is superior. There's nothing else that can get us into heaven other than Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to walk through the British Museum and to view all the ancient Near Eastern artifacts. And there's a mural from ancient Egypt. And it shows one of the pharaohs being brought by a hand, by a mediator, that is a go-between, to God. And then on the mural, it showed a scale that is with the heart of the pharaoh on one side of the scale, and then on the other side of the scale was God's perfect judgment. And the pharaoh supposedly would wring his hands waiting to see if his heart was good enough to outweigh all the evil that he had done. But the writer of Hebrews says that there are no other ways except Christ. Christ is superior. Christ is best, and He is the only way. He is all sufficient as a way into heaven. I think there are two things that we need to deduce from this as our communion meditation. And the first is this, and that is for those who may not be in Christ, and that is what a great invitation and opportunity do you see, if you're not a Christian this morning, do you see that Christ is best because God has spoken through Him supremely and He's superior to philosophy, to psychology, to any other ism? Christ is best. And then secondly, for those of us who are Christians, I believe that this text reminds us the superiority of Christ, that we don't get distracted by this life and all of its activities and all of its business. Like the poet said, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. We don't get distracted by what we have, by what we possess. Do you know what I mean? That we remember that in the final analysis, Jesus Christ is superior, Christian. And our challenge is to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does that characterize your life as well? Christ is best. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reminder indeed that Christ is best, that He is superior to all other philosophies, religions, and the things that attract us in this life that we would naturally attach to. Remind us in our hearts that we are to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as we come to this communion table, remind us of His superiority because of His all-sufficiency to forgive sin and to cleanse everyone here and to send us out new and different people. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our communion hymn is hymn number 513, "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." Shall we stand?